And we are on the air on this Friday, Getaway Friday, September the 18th, 2020, 9/18/2020. Here we are, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. We had an extra long obituary report this morning, but that is okay because we got 3 hours left in the day today, and we're kind of going to have a round-robin conversation for the next 3 hours, and there is a lot of sports to talk about, so we've got the right person here for that because some of it has to do with a big local rivalry that will be coming to a head tonight that he will be broadcasting live on 1490 WMRN at 7 p.m. tonight. You're not going to want to miss that. Now, we've been joined all morning by Kaylee Krieger. She will continue to be with us, and we got an email during the break there that they were enjoying hearing Kaylee this morning, so we're glad Kaylee's going to stick around for the rest of the morning and joining us for the rest of the morning, the next 3 hours. Sports Director Emeritus here in Marion, 40 years, I guess it'd be 41 now in broadcasting, Jeff Ruth. Jeff, how are you?
Hopefully this would be year 41, you're right.
41. 41 years now, but you didn't start doing sports, so it's not 41 in sports.
Be 36 in sports.
36 in sports. Have you enjoyed every minute of it?
99.9%. The very few times where we had technical issues, probably weren't my favorite, but fortunately those have been few and far between.
Don't you love the technical issues?
No, I hate them.
Tell me about a time where you didn't get on at all, because I know it's had to have happened.
We had a game, this was like my first or second year, and we had a game, it was a makeup game. Ridgedale was supposed to have played Cary on like Friday or Saturday, and it got snowed out. So they made it up on a Monday. So this was long before you came there. We had an old van. I mean, it was an old van. And Cary was pretty much on the fringe of where we could broadcast when we had never broadcast a game from Cary, but it was like, okay, it's the only game in town, let's try it. So we go up, and I parked in the parking lot, and we had a hydraulic at that time where you would just turn the hydraulic, and it would raise the antenna about 40 feet, and then the antenna was on top of the hydraulic. Well, we had had rain, snow, it had thawed, it had unthawed. So I turned the hydraulic, and this antenna went probably 80 feet in the air. It shot up like a rocket. And it's going up, and I'm in a parking lot, and there's cars on either side of the truck. And it's going up, and it starts to come down, and it's like, this is not going to end well. Fortunately, it came straight down. I say fortunately, but it hit the top of the van, and it put a punctured a big hole in the top of the van. So obviously we weren't going to get on the air that night, and Joe Peters was our engineer, and I called the station, of course, and told him what had happened, and Joe called the station, wanted to know why we weren't on the air, and they relayed the message. Joe wasn't real happy.
I can imagine Joe might not have been happy.
So we went up Tuesday morning. I had to come back in the team bus with Ridgedale. And they dropped me
off. Can I get a ride home?
Yeah, and they dropped me off at the radio station. So Joe and I went back up on Tuesday, and we got the thing, you know, taken care of.
Because we've talked about this. Joe was a little bipolar.
Yeah.
He was one of the first. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's not one of the first people to be bipolar, but he was one of the first people.
In looking back, yeah, you can certainly see that. There was one time at Elgin in the old gym where we couldn't get on for whatever reason. So I had to do the game. This is back when they had payphones. And they had a payphone by the entrance to the gym. So I could only see half of the gym. And people would congregate there at the door. So Roger Ruth helped me. Roger, anytime anybody like stood at the door, Roger would move out. So I could see half of the floor, but the other half I couldn't see. So if somebody scored, Roger would write. He had a pencil and a notepad. So if somebody scored, I could see the scoreboard change, and Roger would write down like field goal by Smith. So I would write field, and then I wish I had tapes of those kind of games.
That's like in the early days of radio, wasn't it true that they didn't send the sport, like the baseball broadcaster did not go to the game?
Well, that's like what's happening now in sports.
Right. So the teletype would come in, and you would have to improvise, you know, what was being said to you. Yeah. Yeah. But they weren't there.
And I don't know if it was Wade Hoyt or somebody, but there was a technical issue for like 8 minutes, and the guy kept fouling the ball back. And, you know, the guy had like 45 consecutive foul balls because they're trying to figure it. And then finally, you know, he walked or whatever. But for like 8 minutes, whoever it was said, you know, that ball's fouled back again.
And nobody that's a game. Yeah. But they had to add all this stuff. Like what you would get on the teletype would be, you know, Brown hit a home run. Yeah. Well, you'd have to, the wind is calm, and yeah, Brown is stepping up to the mound, and he's dusting his feet with the bat. You added all that.
Yeah.
It didn't really happen.
Ernie Harwell, who for so many years did Detroit Tiger games, he was famous for, if it was a foul ball, it was caught by a gentleman from Hamtramck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, long fly ball and nice grab by a gentleman from Saginaw or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, nobody knows it was a Saginaw. We used to do that when the Marion Mayhem played, and they kicked footballs into the stands, and I'd say, you know, oh, a nice catch by, you know, a gentleman from New Bloomington caught that. Nobody knew that.
Nobody knows.
It was just something we did for fun. But, yeah, and like if we did a game, you know, say they had a game in Milwaukee, you know, oh, there's a nice catch by a gentleman who came down from Kenosha to watch the game, or somebody from, La Crosse. Oh, gentleman drove all the way from La Crosse to see this one. Nobody knew that. Nobody at home was listening, you know, got that, but it was just something to have fun with.
But what happened to the color men? I mean, we know what the play-by-play guy is there to do. They're there to call the game, you know, balls, strikes, passes, touchdowns, whatever. But the good color men did just what you said. They made things up. They were there to add color to the game. Color men don't do that. They call them color men, but they're just doing play-by-play, too.
Just analysts, more or less. Yeah.
They're boring. They're not Harry Carey. They're not Ernie Harwell. They're not Joe Nuxall.
Well, Steve Stone was considered, for a long time, an analyst or a color guy. But, I mean, he was great at analyzing what the situation was. You know, a guy's 2-1, you know, look for a fastball up and in. But the last two times he struck him out on curveballs, you don't really get that too much anymore.
Well, here, I'm going to do a color move right here because I just got a message here. I'm going to send a message out to AT, who I know is out there listening at their job this morning. She's from Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
That's true, but it was a little bit of color for this broadcast.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But she knows who she is out there listening right now.
All right.
Okay, let's get into the big thing tonight, because I know some things about this game, and I'm going to mention it a lot, because even though we're going to be on the air here tonight, here's what you do. Get two radios going in your house. This is what you're going to have to do, because I'm going to be here for
you. Don't come on till 8.
Right.
Really, about 8:15.
About 8:15.
And by then, we'll be probably in the third quarter.
Now, you're definitely going to call us tonight when it's over, right?
If the game's over by 10 o'clock.
Is there a chance it won't be?
Well, the first week, of course, we didn't get started till 9 o'clock or so. Week two, we were at Elgin. I was going to give you a call. But it was a 60-18 game. There were a lot of passes, some penalties. So that game wasn't over till just about 10 o'clock. That was about a three-hour game. Games normally are about 2.5 hours. But that was a three-hour game. Now, last week, the game ended 20 to 10, something like that. So I was able to give you a call before the game was over. So if it's, you know, not a long game, I'll give you a call.
So here's what we know about this game tonight. It is the rivalry in Marion County. There is no rivalry like it.
And it's like the Ohio State-Michigan of Marion County.
And it's my understanding that it dates back to Pleasant being a force in sports in Marion, certainly in football, and that one year River Valley had a good team. And nobody expects River Valley to beat Pleasant. And that year they did. And ever since then, now it's become a rivalry.
It really has developed over the years, and not just football, but all sports with River Valley and Pleasant. Now, Harding's in there. And Harding Pleasant or Harding River Valley would still be a little bit of a rivalry because it's a county matchup, but they haven't had the history that River Valley and Pleasant have had.
But is that the history of it? Because I thought that was the history, that River Valley always had awful teams. But and then one year, here they came.
I don't want to say awful teams, but
they
Pleasant,
have wonderful teams.
Pleasant was pretty much dominant, the dominant team.
Dominant team, sure. Yeah. And then one year, there was a big football game. And, of course, everybody expected River Valley to lose, as it had always been. But they didn't. They came in and they beat them. And then ever since then, now it's been a thing.
It has been, yeah.
So that's the history of it. Now, Kaylee, you went to Pleasant.
Yeah.
Okay, now how bad is this rivalry that will happen tonight? It's bad, isn't it?
It's really bad.
It's
bad.
We're
serious. like when I was in high school and, you know, football Friday nights and, you know, you chant and stuff. Like, if we knew...
Now, remember, you're on radio.
Yeah, if we knew secrets about the other team, if we knew secrets about the players from River Valley, we had no issue chanting their entire secret out to everybody.
Now, like, what would be a secret? I mean, like, what in the area? Is it like... I'm not sure what the secret would be.
Like, one year, we... when we versed River Valley for football, we had people dress up in juice boxes because there was rumors that their players were doing steroids. So we had people dress up in juice boxes.
There you go.
And when that person had the ball, they would chant things like in regards to steroids. So like if we find out things like that, even if they're not true.
When you're in a press box, you miss things
like
that.
You don't have that color going on.
No.
Look at the kids out there in the juice boxes.
Yeah, I mean,
look at that.
I think that happened maybe my junior year, maybe sophomore year of high school, but I remember it so distinctly because there was a girl and her little sister came out into our student section with a juice box on, like a costume that was a juice box. And like... Those are, and like, we would bring the big old speaker, and like, during their, like, you know, breaks and stuff, like, we would play music that was like, kind of just adding them, like, songs that would be, like, I guess offensive. Like, the parents didn't like that we played the music we did.
What, how does Pleasant look at River Valley? Do they look at it as a country school? Do they look, what is the impression?
If you go to Pleasant, you're just viewing River Valley. As like a Hick school. Yeah. Like if I'm pretty sure they have a ride your tractor to school day. I'm pretty sure they do.
I do remember one year where there was, you know, the students would come, you know, in their wagons or I do remember
So that's something we would definitely.
And I don't know if that's still going on or not. But
so if Pleasant loses to River Valley, how bad is it that next Monday? To go back to school. Is it easily forgotten or is it a real...
Well, it depends because with social media, as we were talking about earlier, there are some interesting conversations either after the game. I mean, usually by Monday, those things have settled down, but sometimes they haven't. And that drama is still going on between people at the school, specifically if we were chanting someone at somebody that was... a secret that may cause a lot of issues regarding the schools. So like that drama may be very present that next Monday. It's not so much the, like, oh, we lost. Usually if we lost, there's some excuse as to why we lost.
And of course, it's going to be so much different this year because you're not going to have the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going back to school on Monday like you used to. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be so much different.
Mm-hmm. But do you think this would be a game where people are going to try to line the fences to see it? Because it is the rivalry game.
Maybe not as much as because Pleasant's 1-2. And that's unusual for Pleasant. They played two really good teams. And River Valley's coming off a loss. So I don't, you know, it's not like both teams are 3-0, or one team's 3-0 and another team's 2-1, and the MOAC championship's at stake. Because really, it's only the week 4 of the season, so it's pretty early in the year. You know, it might be week 8 or week 9, and it has a lot more riding on it than this year.
Well, it's my understanding, the insight that I have on this game is that, as you said, Pleasant has lost one game. Which is not normal.
Pleasant's lost two.
Oh, they've lost two?
They lost two in a row.
Really?
They lost last week to Lucas, 35-21. Lucas is really good. And then 2 weeks ago, they lost to Shelby.
So they've lost two.
And Shelby is really, really good.
And that River Valley is not bad this year.
Yeah. They should have won last week. But they got beat 28-24. They had a blocked punt that was returned for a touchdown. They missed all four of their extra points. Late in the game, it was a quarterback sack. And they got the River Valley kid for taunting, so it was a 15-yard penalty. Gave Ontario first down. That led to the winning touchdown. So River Valley really should have won that ball game last week.
So we say every year that River Valley could win, but in the back of our minds, we think Pleasant's going to win. Now,
I'm not going to say that.
No, but I think that's what the narrative is.
A lot of people would think
that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's the narrative. But this year, that narrative, I don't think, is there so much.
No.
Because of what you... losses.
It's a toss-up game tonight.
Now, is there anything that any team does better than the other one that could swing this?
Pleasant runs the ball pretty effectively. They pass. The Schaefer kid's a quarterback who's a good passer, but they don't have the receivers this year that they've had in the past. So Pleasant hasn't passed the ball as much as they have. River Valley's just got a sophomore quarterback, and he can throw and he can also run the ball well. And I think it's going to come down to whichever team can run the football most effectively. Week one, we did the Harding-Pleasant game. And Pleasant got behind 14-0 in that game and then came back, scored 42 points. In that second half, they put together, I think, three drives of like 10, 11, and 13 plays. They just jammed it down Harding's throat. So if Pleasant can get the running game going tonight, that'll give them an advantage. If River Valley can, shut them down, advantage to River Valley.
Now, Kaylee, you went to Pleasant. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
So I'm not gonna do my school dirty.
That Pleasant will win?
Yeah, but you don't ever really have a Pleasant fan or Pleasant person ever tell you that we're gonna lose to a rally. Even if in the back of our heads we think we might, you'll never hear us say it, because you can't be weak to that. You have to believe your team's gonna win.
What do you make of the losing two games?
I think I would be a little discouraged if I was still, if this was my year and I was still in high school. I think maybe I'd be a little discouraged, but I don't know the boys who are playing anymore. Like, I really don't know that class very well. Like, those, the freshmen through the seniors. Like, I know the seniors, and that's really the last class I'll pretty much know. So I don't know how they play. I can't, sit here and be like, I think they're going to be great or I think they're going to not be good, but I'm going to assume they're going to win.
I'm not throwing this out as an excuse, but Pleasant, all the teams in the area, Pleasant, their off-season conditioning, their weight room training, is better than any school in the area. Not just Marion County. I would put up Pleasant's conditioning just because they're used to winning. They have that tradition. They don't want to be the team that doesn't go to the playoffs. And when COVID shut down spring sports and shut down the summer, you couldn't get in to do the weight training. You couldn't do what Pleasant has done so well in the past. And I really think that's been a big difference.
Now, if that is common knowledge, in a regular season, why can't other schools put that together?
Pleasant just has that tradition for so many years, winning state championships, and they've got great support from the parents. And I just think it's that attitude of, we've been in the playoffs 8 of the last 9 years or 14 of the last 16 years. We're not going to be a team that doesn't go to the playoffs. And Pleasant is used to going to the playoffs. Now, River Valley's been to the playoffs, but certainly not to the extent that Pleasant. And I just think there's that tradition. And they've had some really good coaches at Pleasant. I think there's that tradition that we're not going to be the team that doesn't go to the playoffs. And they get after it really, really, really hard.
Mm. Well, by the way, if anybody has a phone call about anything, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any predictions about tonight's game? Because a lot of people won't be able to go to the big game tonight that normally do go. Does anybody have a prediction, a thought, or have any other questions that they would like to ask? If you do, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. 37 coming up on 38 minutes past the hour.
And I want you to know I'm giving up a golf game to come in
today. To come in today?
I am.
Well, we appreciate that you gave up a golf game to come in on this big day. Does home field matter in high school sports? Home field advantage?
Again, tonight it won't make much of a difference because you're not going to have the fans. But yeah, home field can be a big difference. Harding, their field is so big, and you know, if Harding has a good crowd and they're, you know, maybe playing, well, tonight they're playing Mansfield-Madison. Madison hasn't won a game. Madison's not going to bring many fans. If it was a normal Friday night, it's going to be a nice evening. It's going to be cool, but it's going to be a nice evening for football. There'd be a lot of fans there at Harding, and mm-hmm. there wouldn't be very many for Madison, and it would make a big difference in a situation like that. So, yeah, home field makes a difference.
When you go to that school, does it? You have to come out that night and support that game.
Yeah, who is home field tonight?
Pleasant.
Is it Pleasant?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I 100% think that home field does have an advantage.
You do?
100%.
Even during COVID?
I think even during COVID it is, yeah. I don't know. There's just a different dynamic, even for the players, that when you're playing on your own field.
Yeah. You know, the player, they'll dress at River Valley. They'll bus over. You can't put everybody on a bus now. You have to divide the buses mm-hmm. up or whatever. Basically, they'll get there. They'll go out on the field. They'll do their warm-ups and get ready for the game. Pleasant will already have been there. They will have been dressed. You know, they will have been out on the field when River Valley's buses arrive. So, yeah, I mean, it will be an advantage for Pleasant.
Who do you think's more anxious today?
Well, I think they're both really... I mean, after last Friday night, River Valley probably couldn't wait to get back out on the field because they know they should be 3-0. So they've been chomping at the bit, but, you know, so is Pleasant. They want to show that, you know, they're not a team that's used to losing 2 in a row. Mm-hmm.
So really what you have on the line tonight is you have 3 losses in a row for Pleasant.
Mm-hmm. 2 losses.
But it would be 3 if they lost
right,
tonight.
If they lose tonight, that's 3 in a row.
They would
yeah.
be 3 in a row, which yeah. would be, that's pretty unheard of for them.
Yeah.
And River Valley would be, even though we messed up last week, now we've lost 2 in a row.
Yeah.
So they're both coming off losing.
There's a lot on the line for both teams tonight.
Because it will change River Valley's record something they don't want.
And with this year, instead of playing a 10-game season and then going to the playoffs, you're playing 6 games. And then the playoffs start in week 7. River Valley has to play Shelby week 6. And River Valley knows if they would win tonight and they would win next week, they play Marion Harding, that week 6 they would play Shelby, and say Shelby wins their next 2 ball games, and they'll probably do that because Shelby's really good. River Valley knows that week 6, if River Valley knocks off Shelby, they'll get a share of the MOAC championship in all likelihood.
Now, everybody goes to the playoffs this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to. There are going to be some teams, I'm thinking, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm thinking Bucyrus. They're coming off a 69-0 loss last week. They're 0-3. Probably going to be 0-6. And they rank teams by basically in the past they've always used computer points. So Bucyrus is going to be, say, 0-6. In all probability, they're going to be going up against a team that's 6-0. Do you want to really do that in week 7? A lot of teams are going to opt out not to play week 7. And I know Ridgedale and Elgin, they have both already scheduled games for like weeks 8, 9, and 10, figuring that even if they make the playoffs, they may not win, you know, their first playoff game. So then they would still have a schedule that they could finish out the rest of the year. It's rather complicated this year.
It is. And what does it mean if you're the champion this year? I mean, is it a big deal?
Well, you look at the World Series. If you win the World Series, yeah, you win the World Series. But it's not going to have the same. It's not going to have the same meaning if you had a 162 game season. I mean, it's the middle of September and they're still playing NHL hockey. I mean, normally you're starting, you know, middle of the season to the end of the season. You're starting your regular season in the NHL. NHL season's not going to end till October. You're just going to push everything back. Same thing with the NBA. It's not the same thing. I mean, and obviously I'm a sports fan, but I'm not watching much baseball. I'm not watching any of the NBA. And since the Blue Jackets aren't in hockey, I'm not watching hockey. I'm watching Two and a Half Men and Mike and Molly.
And catching up on your sitcom.
America Says and 25 Words or Less and those kind of shows, yeah.
All those big things. You know, I was thinking, when I was talking to Kaylee earlier, are there many women in sports broadcasting?
There are at the network level. I mean, you look like at an Erin Andrews who, of course, was doing Dancing with the Stars, isn't doing Dancing with the Stars this year, but she's still doing the football. You know, Susie Kalber. There's a lot of women, but in quotations, I'll use the word eye candy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wasn't I just telling you that earlier?
So what does this say if you are like a Marge Schott type of woman?
You're not going to be on that one.
Tell even if you're good.
No, oh, no.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
no,
you're
not.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, what do we do then? How do we fix this?
There is no
We go back 50 years.
We go back 50 years.
I'm telling you, it's what I was saying earlier. What sells? And that's what sells, and that's what gets the views.
I don't know how many times I have been watching a game, say maybe Brian's watching or whatever, and I say, only reason she's there is because she looks good. And you'll have a lot of those, you know, at the network level, and they're truly there. Yeah, they might have a teleprompter that says, you know, LeBron last week had 26, 15, and 10 assists. She wouldn't know that. She knows it because she's reading it off of a teleprompter.
But doesn't that hurt the quality of your production? I mean, are more people going to turn
Evidently not.
Well, see, but I don't know. Because, see, here's the thing. You know, much like in local news, it used to be that people would come on dressed funny. You know, not everybody had the same sports coat. Not everybody had the same tie. People had a little character. They had a little colorfulness. Now, you wouldn't see that today. Everybody has to go to the same suit shop, and everybody's got to have the same haircut, and there is no variation. But I don't know that that's helped local news. I think it's hurt local news.
Yeah, there's nothing that stands out. I mean, when Jimmy Crum was on, I would tune into the sports. I might not watch their news, but I would watch the sports just because you wanted to see what Jimmy was wearing. And he seemed to have a lot more of the insight, maybe the other. Now, 4, 6, or 10, it's sort of like whatever show's on at 10:59, just kind of leave it at that channel because it really doesn't change. No, there's not that individuality of any of the news.
So, being a woman, what does that make you think? That we just, it's all based on looks, and it's not with guys. It's not based on looks with guys. Is it?
More and more, I think it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
We're phasing out all the...
I think...
John Madden wouldn't work today?
Who's that?
John Madden would not work today?
I think it's getting more and more where you saw it, I think, with the women. I think you're starting to see it with the men.
I think before. I mean, you're talking about something that's been going on for years on years on years. I mean, there's no really way to feel about it because this is all I've, you know, grow up around is that if you're pretty, you can get pretty much most of the things you want and desire if you're pretty. You can eventually get it somehow, some way. If you're a pretty person, that's just how it's going to work for you. I mean, I think a lot of women know that, though. Like, we're going to use it to our advantage. If there's, like, going to be a way where I can take advantage of, you know, what my body looks like, what it looks like, and take it to my advantage, then so be it. If they're going to do it already for their benefit, then I might as well do it for my benefit.
The very first bowl game I went to was in San Antonio. Ohio State was playing Oklahoma State. And Erin Andrews, at that time, she was at the network, but she wasn't the name that she is now. So we're down in the lobby waiting to get the bus from the hotel to the game. And there's a sofa. It's like a two-person sofa. I get down. Erin Andrews is sitting at one end of the sofa. All the other spots are taken. So I said, do you mind if I sit down? And it's like, you know, I immediately wanted to call everybody I knew and said, I'm sitting next to Erin Andrews. And we had a five-minute conversation. It was nice.
Did she know anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She does know her stuff.
Erin Andrews knows her stuff.
It's fair.
Yeah, she does. But there's a lot of people that know their stuff that aren't on the network level. But I forget where I was going with it. So, yeah, I mean, I told, you know, 18, 19 years later, I'm still telling the story about I got to sit next to Erin Andrews. If I sat next to Doug Adair for 5 minutes, it's like, who cares?
Well, but is that, does it always work?
Maybe it shows I'm a very shallow person.
No, I don't know. Because I wonder, is that really how it works? Because I would think that that may work against some people. That if you are getting everything based upon how you look, when it's time to perform, you might not be able to perform. And if you can't, that's eventually going to wear on people.
Yeah, the fact that Erin has been doing that at the network level for 20 years or so, she knows her stuff. She really does.
But some
of the other people maybe that haven't done a whole lot, I don't think are going to get to that level.
Well, I don't know, because I think of people who have come in who have looked halfway decent, but people resent them for that. You know, the audience is female, and they don't like it. They feel threatened, or they feel...
But if you're watching a football game or a baseball game or whatever, the odds are most of the people watching are going to be men.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're going to... They won't put... a woman who is attractive if it's going to be a woman-based audience. They won't go out of their way to have a woman do it because, again, like you said, it's not going to do anything for us. I mean, I guess unless you're...
What is it doing? Because I'm trying to figure out what's it doing. I mean, if I'm tuning in, I make a decision. There are 5 bazillion things that I could watch. I could watch YouTube. I could watch cable. I could watch anything I want. Am I basing the decision because of how the person looks? I've never sat down to watch anything and said, I'm going to watch this really horrible movie instead of this really good movie because there are better looking people in the horrible movie. It doesn't work like that.
Okay, but that's you, and that's not the mindset of a lot of men.
Really?
They would rather watch someone who's pretty
in a bad movie. Instead of a good movie.
Yes.
Depending on what the movies were, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, it does depend on what the movies were.
But if it's a bad movie with... If Susan Day is in a bad movie...
Oh, here we go with Susan Day.
Oh, man. If Susan Day is in a bad movie, and you can name... Meryl Streep might be in a movie that's going to win Best Picture, I'm going to watch the Susan Day movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but how do you explain Betty White? How do you explain her gigantic success as a 90-year-old woman?
Betty, she's kind of a anomaly. I think everybody likes Betty. She's been around a long time. Everybody likes Betty.
He's funny.
How do you explain Ed Asner, who's still working at 90?
Now, Ed, I can't figure out.
How do you explain that? He's the voice in Up. He's Santa Claus in Elf, which you see every year. How does he maintain a working career? Yeah. There is no... appeal there. I've seen that up close. Trust me, there's no appeal there.
I mean, it's hit or miss, but I really think that if you can get an attractive woman to even star in a not so good movie, you're going to get the views that you're desiring. Yeah. I mean, you're going to have people who are picking for the wrong reason.
Men are very shallow.
I don't know. Okay, like, for example, I think right now, probably the actor that we revere most in this society, in my opinion, maybe Morgan Freeman. Now, I don't know that Morgan Freeman is based in sex appeal at all. No, I don't think he is.
It's his voice.
But if he's in a movie, people will go watch it because it's Morgan Freeman. He's a good actor. It's a good movie. I can't think of anybody who's making continual bad movies who is just a good-looking person who stays around.
I could, but I don't know her name.
But we don't know her name.
I just don't know actors' names. That's personally, I don't know actors' names, but she's in a lot of terrible movies. Terrible. And she's getting those, and she's the main character, you know, it's her, and she keeps getting those views. Those movies keep getting, you know, quite a bit of.
What is somebody like Amy Schumer, who certainly is not the typical size and whatever? She's doing very well.
I don't know. That's a personal statement, because there's a lot of people I know that don't like her.
Right, but she's doing well.
I mean, I know who she is, but I've never really seen her do anything.
Well, I mean, I
don't even know the last thing she was in. What was it?
Because
if she's doing well, wouldn't we know?
Well, I think she's out there.
We know her name because she's not the typical Amy Schumer.
Well, let's try this.
She's not the typical societal, like, image of a woman that you typically see in society. But that's why we know Amy Schumer, because she isn't. She's loud. She's not the dumb, ditzy blonde.
She's comedy.
Okay, if you want to say that.
Isn't she a comedy? She's a stand-up.
Sure. That's what she says she is. That doesn't mean she is.
Well, that's what she does on stage,
okay.
I think.
But she's not all those things that you would typically see in a regular actress or in society, period. But I think we know her like that. Do I know her because she starred in movies? No, I know her name because I know she doesn't fit those standards.
But who's an actress, Jeff, that is her career is totally predicated on her looks? Because if this is the common thing...
You may have to help me out on this, because
I don't think there is anybody.
Yeah,
I don't watch a lot of movies, and...
Who's a television star? Who's a broadcaster where it's all predicated in looks? That their whole career, they're an absolutely famous, rich person, but they really have zero talent. It's all in their face.
Kim Kardashian.
I think Kim's smart. I think she's smart.
If you literally ask anybody, specifically in my generation, actually, if you ask my mom, I'm sure she would say it. The Kardashians have nothing going for their family except what? What was the main reason that Kim Kardashian got famous? Do you know?
It was the tape.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think...
The tape that what? What sells?
Right. But a lot of people have done those tapes and not done nearly as well as Kim Kardashian.
Who did she...
I don't know who was in the video with her. I didn't go that deep.
I don't know either.
But no, I mean, Paris Hilton has became famous because of a tape like that. That's not uncommon. But Paris Hilton, where is she today? Haven't heard from her in a long time. I think Kim, that's why she's smart. She handled her career very... She
said, if I'm going to get backlash on this, I might as well just claim it. Exactly what I'm saying, though. She took her tape and made it into what she is now. Like, she was like, I'm not going to let people, you know, downgrade me because I made a tape. I'm going she literally built their entire family's based off of what, a tape?
Like, yeah, but her father, wasn't her father in the OJ trial? What was his name? Robert Kardashian.
Robert, no.
Yeah, so they had fame before that. And Kris Jenner, I mean, look at that. That certainly helped that show.
I know, but what I'm saying is, where did they start off? Like,
how do you explain Kris Jenner?
You don't.
And his, or her, or whatever you say now, that popularity.
You don't.
Yeah, but it's interesting because we are fascinated with that, and certainly
not me.
But isn't she now more? Who was ever going to? Was it Kris Jenner? What was his name? Kurt. What was his name before? when he was an Olympic guy?
Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner. Okay, Bruce Jenner. Did anybody ever go to Bruce Jenner for political endorsements? Did anybody ever go to Bruce Jenner to be on a reality show? No. But boy, when he became this other thing, now he gets political endorsements. Now they go to him for interviews.
And I think to be correct, he is not a he anymore, and he is a she.
Right, but that's the story with him, yeah. her.
I just stay totally away from the, if Kim Kardashian came in, and I wouldn't know who she was. I know the name, but I don't know what any of the Kardashians look like. I've never seen their show. It just doesn't interest me.
But you know Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
So that's talent versus looks.
Exactly. So we're acknowledging that the Kardashians are based off their looks. They're getting views because their looks. Kylie, she has her entire enterprise is based off of how she looks. And honestly, Kylie's completely fake at this point. Like, she's gotten so much work done that she's not even who she once was when she was young. She looks nothing like it. She is based off her look. People like and buy her products because they think they'll look like her.
See, I still think there's something based in the writing, something based in the talent.
Like Megan Fox.
I don't think the Kardashians have any talent.
But it's a reality show.
Because they don't have any talent.
But it's a reality show. Right? I mean, isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, sure.
It's supposed to be a little phony?
I guess that's why I don't watch reality shows.
Watch it. Yeah, I don't really watch
The only
it.
Thing about a reality show is it's unreality.
Well, she's never got a movie career out of it. She's never got anything beyond exactly what she is. Now, I think when you...
That's been going on for years and years and years.
Yeah, but I think when you marry also Kanye West, who's a very controversial figure, I think that helps you.
Yeah, but she wasn't... I don't know if I agree with that like benefited her that much because she was already pretty big before she married Kanye West.
Go ahead, caller.
A person that's got famous just for their looks, because she did do a movie and it very began was Vanna White.
Vanna White. Yeah, well, yeah, I think, yeah. But has she really gone far? She's been turning letters for 35 years.
She's got millions of dollars.
Laughing all the way to the
she
bank.
She does got millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that the career you want? I mean, did anybody ever say...
I'd take that career.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but did anybody ever say, Vanna, let's do a big movie?
She did do movies in the beginning. When she first was on the show, she did a movie or two for Disney and played princesses.
Right, but I think they didn't go over well, and I think that's probably why she's not doing movies now.
Well, that's what she said. She got her job for her looks. If she would have been good in her movies, she'd still be doing movies.
Well, but my guess would be Merv Griffin did not pick her to turn letters and never say a word on the broadcast because she was smart. I think that is a particular job that is... I mean, it's like being Miss America. You know, we know what they're voting on in Miss America. So I don't expect them to be great talent. I'm saying somebody who just absolutely is in the talent industry, keeping people out, who is there just because of their looks.
Yeah, but in the beginning, she was a real idol for kids and people because she's so princess-like looking. So
it is interesting.
He would pick her because she was good looking. He didn't pick her for her smarts, but if somebody was really smart and not good looking, he wouldn't have picked them.
Exactly my point.
Right, but I think that was the job description, and I think she got all that from Wheel of Fortune because that's the society we live in. But I don't think she would have ever been picked to host Entertainment Tonight, even if she looked that way.
No, but when you got a good gig, you just don't quit.
That's true. You don't leave when you're turning those letters. Well, hey, thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
And she has to be somewhat intelligent to carry on a conversation. I mean, there's not a lot of conversation, but, you know, you're out. I mean, they do a lot of traveling to different cities and so forth. You got to meet the public. I mean, you got to come off as somebody that can carry on a conversation.
I'm not saying Vanna's dumb. I'm just saying that if when, you know, fine, you make a lot of money, you make millions of dollars, but what is the obituary going to say? Letter turner. That's it.
But everybody in the country knows who Vanna White is.
They do, but I think everybody knows who O.J. Simpson is. I don't know if I want his obituary when he goes.
I don't, but I'm saying, what I'm saying is there are women who succeed in their careers or have a career because they're pretty.
You know what? We got a break. We're going to get to the Big Ten and we're going to talk about the.
Oh, you think we are.
We are. We got 2 hours left to go with Jeff and Kaylee here, and we're going to continue on this subject too because it is fascinating. I don't think that's true. I think there are good looking women who are smart who've gotten career. Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts is America's sweetheart is what they call her. Mm-hmm. But Julia Roberts has done good movies.
Yeah.
She's done very good movies. Pretty Woman might have been the I don't think Pretty Woman's a good movie in my opinion. But okay. Steel Magnolias. Look at the talent. She was not the star of Steel Magnolias. And look at some of those women. Yeah, Shirley MacLaine.
I've seen Pretty Woman probably 10 times.
Oh, we're gonna come back and argue it out. And
yes, absolutely.
And I watched a half hour of Steel Magnolias. It was like, this isn't any good.
Steel Magnolias versus Pretty Woman when we come back here from WGH Radio. Stay tuned.
1FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crt.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo.